Hi, and welcome to You Podcast. My name is Austin Burney, and I'm joined by Josh Furtado. Hi, Josh.
All right, I lost you for a second. I'm here.
See, that's super casual then. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
I'm so happy to have you on, man, because I was scared to do this review all on my own, because I know how protective South Indian people are of their cinema. I'm glad to have an expert on.
Oh, Jesus. Now you just put all kinds of pressure on me.
Totally, dude. I'm like just totally shifting all the blame to you. So you can get it, Josh, on twitchfilm.com.
I haven't gotten any death threats on my review yet, so thanks for that.
Yeah, so hopefully we can change that. it's great to have you on. We were just talking about it, that it's been like 3 years since we had our last Agnipat review, so I was always kind of thinking, what can we talk about? And I thought, there's no better movie than Linga, right? You're a huge Rajni fan, and I mean, you know so much more about South Indian cinema than I do, so I think this is kind of the perfect thing to kind of catch up. Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots to talk about, yeah, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, so much time has elapsed since the last time.
Yeah.
Well, we spoke, and the last time he was on screen, there's stuff to talk about.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just start with that. You know, like, I mean, again, I think we'll probably be getting a lot of new listeners because it's a South Indian movie and we don't do a lot of those. So I just want to tell everybody as a disclaimer, none of either of us is South Indian. So if that's a problem for you, for guys that we can't review the movie, I'm sure there's other podcasts and reviews that you can probably listen to. So that's just as a disclaimer, see?
I get that a lot.
Yeah, you should put that in front of every review you do.
I should.
I am not qualified
to review this movie, but
I have opinions.
Yeah.
Like, you're a huge Rajni fan, right? If I'm not wrong.
I am. So yes.
What is it about Rajni fan that appeals to you as not a South Indian, you know?
Well, I think the same things that appeal to the South Indian crowd, that the Tamil crowd that goes to see his movies or knows all of his dialogues, you know, word for word, appeals to me just from a different, you know, different perspective. You know, he is, as I put in my review at Twitch, he's not really like an actor anymore. A Rajni movie is not about the movie anymore. It's about him. Mm. And most of the time, he's able to hold that down pretty well, and if he's not on the screen, it's only because they're setting something up for him to be on the screen in a much bigger way. And you know, he is really just the amalgamation of his mannerisms and his, you know, his particular swagger, which
swagger, yeah.
You know, Tamil movie fans can recognize Rajni's walk without even seeing his face, you know. It's that kind of the ability to be a movie star without having to be an actor that other performers just don't have.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I used to be a huge Rajinikanth fan back. I mean, you know me, you know, I'm much more of a Bollywood guy. I love my Bollywood. And even a lot of things that people hate about Bollywood, I still enjoy, you know. I still enjoy the romance, I enjoy the dancing, the songs, the item numbers, whatever.
Absolutely.
I kind of love that. So I knew Rajni back from the 80s, where he used to be kind of, you know, like...
He would show up in the Bollywood movies all the time.
Yeah,
you know, with Skaraftara, with
exactly, you know. A lot of times with Amitabh, like kind of being his brother or his
or the three of them, you know, Rajni, Amitabh, and Kamal would be in movies together all the time.
Exactly, you know? Yeah, and I mean, Hum, Giriftar, before that, those were awesome movies, and I loved Rajni in those, and they were quite horrific. Like Giriftar is quite a horrific movie when you think about it, and I watched that as a 7-year-old. You know, I would not even think about, you know, like Amitabh's fingers get crushed by a huge truck, Rajni gets burnt alive, and then a hacksaw, they hack his head away. I mean, it's crazy. Particularly, there was this revenge drama where he had this, it was a rape revenge drama where he used to have these throwing knives that he used to chuck at people. And I loved that movie. And again, I was 7 years old. I don't even know why I'm watching rape revenge dramas at that time, but I loved that guy. He just had like so much charisma. And unfortunately for us Hindi viewers, he he stepped away because probably he didn't feel he could be what he wanted to be, where
right.
like, he was a god, you know, like in South Indian cinema. So coming back to it, I mean, I've been seeing a lot of this noise about this Rajni effect that's kind of come back in the last 7-8 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think... it's interesting because it's a combination of, for me as an outside viewer, it's kind of Amitabh who never aged,
right.
mixed in with the passion of the Khans, all three together, plus having this viral video effect that he was able to create with especially the finale of Endiran and yeah. A lot of these tribute videos that you see. And I mean, there's even a documentary called Rajni Effect that we reviewed on the podcast. I'm sure you right. saw it too. Just about the phenomenon of a Rajni Khan. So for me, it was important that I just wanted to see this in theaters because I'd missed Robot and I'd missed Shivaji. I didn't get the chance to watch them in the theater. So I really wanted to see it. See Linga. I did see those movies as Hindi dubbed versions, mm-hmm. which apparently is a horrible way to watch those movies. So, I was like, yeah, it still has an A.R. Rahman soundtrack, so it should be fine. And I did enjoy it. I did enjoy both of these. The one thing was weird for me that in the Hindi dub versions, Rajnikant doesn't do the dubbing himself in Hindi. And I love his Hindi accent. Like back in Giriftar and Hum, he has this particular twang the way he speaks, and it's just mm-hmm. awesome. Like everything that Rajnikant does. So I mean, that's a shame, man. Rajni, if you like do a Hindi version, like do the dubbing too, man. It would be awesome for us.
Absolutely.
So. We both got to see it, so did you get a bit of that? Like, how packed was your theater?
Well, okay, so the theater that I go to is in Irving, Texas, which has a fairly substantial South Indian population around it. Mm. And so usually when you go to see one of these films, both the theater I go to shows Hindi, Tamil, and Telugu films all, you know, every week. Mm. It's just, they're always there. And so... typically for a movie like this, you will have a cinema, you know, 400 or 500 seats that'll be sold out. The actual screening that I was at was in one of the smaller rooms. It was about 200 seats, but it was sold out also. And they had 6 screenings of it that day. Yeah. So it was pretty full. It was pretty full. It wasn't robot full,
right?
But it was still pretty full.
Mm. Mine is weird because I went into this theater and it got only announced at a very late date that they were going to be showing Linga.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually pretty empty. And it was also a Thursday night for London, which usually probably isn't that packed. But even for the people that were there, there was definitely an excitement, you know. There was...
yeah.
The typical things that, you know, starting to scream as soon as the credits come up and those letters SUPER came up, people were, you know, they started going crazy. And
oh, absolutely, yeah.
So I did get a bit of that effect. And again, because I haven't seen a lot of these movies, and Linga is just filled with all of these meta references. Yeah. People just used to laugh and cheer. I figured out that I missed something. So that was kind of a good barometer for me to figure out. Asim, you something awesome happened and you didn't get it. So, yes.
Oh, and I... trust me, I have plenty of those all the time. That's not I'm not that well versed in the stuff that I know all the references, but I can pick up a few here and there.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like he Rajni's been ill for a while. It's been a gap since his last movie. He was going to make Rana, then he was going to make he made Kochideyan. Did Rana become Kochideyan, or was that
it depends on what you read. From what I was able to glean from hunting down all the information over the last few years, it was supposed to be the part of Kochideyan that was supposed to be in Rana. Was supposed to be like a flashback sequence. Oh. It was supposed to be like a CG flashback sequence in Rana.
Right. Okay.
And then, you know, he got to the set for the first day of shooting Rana and ended up in the hospital for 3 months, okay. You know, yeah. on day one. So, and you know, it's pretty well accepted that he took all that time off because obviously he needed to recuperate. It was in intensive care for a long time, and it's difficult. You know, he's not a young man anymore.
Yeah. And then I mean, Kocheleon didn't do, I think, up to the expectation that they were having or the kind of hype they were creating. I think it was kind of a money loser for a lot of people.
They shot themselves in the foot several times with that too. You know, trying to hype it up as, you know, this world class animation and bringing the animation style to India and all this other kind of shit. And it looked like a video game cutscene, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like a really bad iPhone game. That's what it
is. And the other thing is that, you know, they kept pushing it back. I mean, I'm used to that. They always push these movies back. But when they pushed it back, people had already bought premiere night tickets, and they're like, oh, it's going to be 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
So, like, people were literally walking up to the theater and saying that and being told there was going to be no movie that night because it was, you know, pulled. So they just kept shooting themselves in the foot over, and I think they built a lot of bad blood in the process.
I think the marketing was definitely an issue, just kind of, you know, selling it on the, because those are all the PR emails that I was getting, that it's kind of the photorealistic and it's the best animation, and it really wasn't. It was not a good, no. I mean, I would even say that some Disney India cartoons have been better, you know. What was that?
Oh, yeah.
that doggy film, whatever that was, the Romeo and something. Roadside Romeo.
Yeah.
I think that had more of its merits than maybe Kocheleon. And I haven't even seen the movie. I saw 10 minutes the other day on television and I just couldn't watch it. It was horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. It has the same, you know, the dead eye thing that a lot of the motion capture stuff had before Avatar. Pretty much broke it open and they just hadn't, they're just not there.
Yeah.
You know? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so
just, I mean, acknowledge it.
Yeah, exactly. So he's now back in a live-action movie, Linga, and he's teaming up with K.S. Ravi Kumar, who's a longtime collaborator of his and a good friend of his, like he said in the movie itself. What did you think of Linga?
You know, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Anyone who reads my review will know that I was disappointed, anyone who follows me on Twitter or Facebook or any of that kind of stuff knows that I was really excited for this.
Yeah.
Like, absurdly excited.
Yeah.
And I came out of the movie just thinking, well, you know, I guess that happened. And I didn't have, you know, after the first few minutes, I could tell it wasn't going to be what I wanted it to be.
Yeah,
you know? Well, and maybe that's my fault for having my expectations too high. I deal with that a lot of times as a reviewer, like going into movies, or as a critic going into movies and not getting what I expect.
Yeah,
you know, and I having to reconcile whether that's my fault or the movies.
You know? Yeah, because I think both you and me, a lot of times we were very honest in our critique of movies, and I think we get, I mean, I at least get the feedback that, you know, you were gunning for this movie, or, you know, you're picking out negatives. And honestly, I really go into a movie hoping to love it, you know. And
absolutely.
I'm sure it was the same thing. And actually, when I came out of Linga, I almost felt bad for you and a few other friends of mine that were so excited for this movie. I was like, man, even the hardcore Rajini fans will agree that this is not a Shivaji. This is not an Indian.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, that's kind of a shame. Not that I expected that to, you know, happen, but it just is not on that same level that those movies were.
Yeah, and you know, the my friends who are Tamil, who I talk to all the time, are very excited about it. And you know, Ashanti Omkar, who we both know, was very excited about it. And Sudish Kamath, who's another filmmaker and critic in India, he was very excited about it. And you know, everyone, they all come out, you know, just like, it seems like sort of grasping at straws, like trying to tell me about why this movie was so great and I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
I should have, you just weren't looking at it the right way. I'm like, I wanted to like it as much as you did. I just
didn't. What was that one moment where you thought, okay, this is not going to go, this is not going well?
it was right at the very beginning. You know, as soon as Rajni shows up, and it's honestly, you can sort of, the vibe from the crowd at that point sort of told me what all I needed to know, because just like with your crowd and with, I'm sure, thousands of other crowds around the world, as soon as his name comes up in lights, everyone starts cheering. Yeah. Can't hear anything. I remember getting hit on the back of the head with all sorts of debris and confetti because I don't sit in the back with everybody else because I just don't like to do that.
Yeah.
But Indians do like to sit in the back of the theater, so the entire crowd was behind me. And, you know, that went on for a second, and then it went quiet. And then he shows up for his intro song, which I love that song. Mm. Like, I've had the soundtrack for weeks. I have that song on repeat. I love that song. Oh, Nanba, I love that song. And everyone was kind of excited. We were still sort of into it after that song. And then it just sort of drags out.
Yeah.
After that, the whole introduction piece where they're trying to establish the fact that Rajnikant has charisma. And there's a heist scene early on in the film where they're trying to establish that Rajnikant has this charisma and he's going to sort of sweep this girl off her feet without even realizing it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Either one of them even realizing it. And that just dragged on for so long, and it really had nothing to do with the rest of the movie. And then there were just a lot of moments like that. And then it started to get really talky, and there started to be a lot of those, you know, dialogues, and it just kept going and going. And, you know, and there are times when that works really well, and this was just not one of those times. You know, it feels like they're fighting a fight that's long been over.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the films, you know, I put this in my review. The film is basically in two parts. It's the modern day part and then the flashback part. And in the modern day part, he's fighting against corruption and it's the Raj, you know, which happens a lot. That happens a lot in movies. And,
yeah.
But it's like, you know what, that battle's long been won, you know. And as much as I want to sympathize with him at that point, it felt really contrived, like they had to come up with something for him to fight against.
Yeah.
And this guy with the evil white guy was just really evil for no good reason, you know. And that's typical of the films. I mean, it's not an unusual thing, and I'm not criticizing that as a fault of this particular film because I'm used to it and it happens, but it just felt really hollow. Like I didn't have any sort of emotional connection to him because he is such a, you know, an idea on film rather than a character.
Mm, yeah.
And so it's difficult to see him making any sort of real connections with anyone else because he is so far above all the other characters, like morally and ethically, that he doesn't really interact with them in a way that makes them equals. Which is not the case in some of the more recent films where he's been so much better.
Yeah, I mean, for me it was like, again, I have so many gaps, so I was like, is this supposed to be how it is? Like, because the idea I have of South Indian cinema is that it's quite a bit longer. The movies are longer than Bollywood movies have now become, you know, and it's still kind of that old school masala where they throw everything at you. There's still a lot of sidekick comedy. There's a lot of songs. There's a heroine that's quite a bit younger that falls in love very quickly with the hero and then just kind of, you know, chases him without the hero actually having to do that much effort. So a lot of it I was kind of thinking maybe this is supposed to be the way it is, but still something just felt off to me throughout the entire movie. And the first thought that I had was that it's basically K.S. Ravi Kumar. He's no Shankar. He doesn't have and can I just say, before the movie started, there was the trailer of of Shankar's, and oh my god, that is just bonkers, man. That trailer is better than the entirety of Linga, I'm sorry to say. K.S. Ravi Kumar just doesn't have that imagination, he doesn't have the grand canvas that Shankar is able to create, and he probably also doesn't have the budgets, and I think...
Yeah.
That restrained budget really started to kind of feel in the song sequences, in the fight sequences, especially that pirate song, which was kind of an awesome song. That was Mona Lisa, right? Gasolina.
Mona Gasolina.
Mona Gasolina. Actually, I was humming that song afterwards, like even the next day, because it's an awesome tune. But the picturization just looked quite cheap, if I have to say. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about something like that, and that. And that part of the film, it reminded me, you know, of in Robot. There's a similar thing where, you know, the girl finally realizes that she loves him, and then all of a sudden, bam! There's a movie. There's a song sequence, and it's the I can't remember the name of the song, but it's the one in the Andes at Machu Picchu. in Robot, where Aishwarya decides that she's in love with him, and then all of a sudden there's that song sequence, and it's just like, oh, they're standing there laughing at each other, and then bam, out of nowhere there's a song. And that's the kind of thing that South Indian films still do, that still Bollywood movies are getting better with. You know, Bollywood movies tend to work their songs in a little bit better most of the time. But with the Tamil and Telugu films that I watch, it's still pretty jarring.
Like
you feel like there should be more movie before the song starts.
But
I mean, that song, it reminded me of like a poor man's Dumtana, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of the same imagery in Dumtana.
Yeah.
But it's just so much more energetic, and there's so much more like going on that it feels, you can feel the energy a little better.
Yeah. And yeah, I think so. That was one of the problems I had. Definitely K.S. Ravikumar's, just kind of his approach to making this movie. And the second is, I think you touched upon it lightly, is I just felt there was a lack of villains in this movie for him. There was no foe for Rajnikanth. And I think the villain in, for example, Shivaji, he was kind of a great foil for Shivaji, and it really created a bit of tension there. And obviously, N.T. Ran, he's fighting against himself, which you can't get any better than that.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things about Shivaji, the villain in that film, really doesn't have that many lines.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk a whole lot. He's not, you know, particularly overtly sinister. He's not like a, he's more of like a Blofeld kind of a bad guy, if we're going to make comparisons, where he's menacing, but he doesn't have to actually do a whole lot of the work. He gets everyone else to do the work. Whereas it seems with this film, they had the villains sort of following Rajnikanth around, to make sure that they were like sort of just picking at him, but never, we never feel like he's gonna lose.
Yeah, what the hell was that white guy hunting anyway? You know, like, wow, just like he was just like running around the hills with the horse, and just like, yeah, I'm hunting, and he just suddenly showed up every time. It was ridiculous. But the problem that I had is with Shivaji again, it's a corrupt politician. You know, that's a story we've seen so many times. But it did bring something new to it, you know. There was there was kind of a tension. There was something going on between those two. Whereas here, the story of corrupt English colonialism, we've seen that story so many times, and they didn't bring anything new. And I think that was my main problem with it. At least it was just not fresh. It was very stale.
Plus,
added, it had really bad acting in it.
And the thing is, it's hard to see that, from the South Indian perspective for me. You know, I'm so far removed from the culture, even though I try to keep up as much as I can. You know, they're caricatures of, white people or, the invaders. They're not really, characters. Like, they have no depth, they have no arc, they have no sort of, I'm not expecting a backstory, because God knows they didn't need another flashback, but there's no sort of I couldn't look at any particular person and say that they would be that flat, that just committed to evil at all times. Like this guy was.
I just also feel he wasn't a good actor. Like, beside all of that, the writing was definitely lacking, but I just didn't feel he was a good actor.
And a lot of times what I feel like happens, and this is just my guess, is that they make the white actors perform in that way so that, the dialogue is very stilted and the performance is very stilted, so that people who don't speak English can maybe follow along a little. That's the way I think of it in my head. These people speak slowly, and they speak in these simple sentences so that people who are Tamil who are from Andhra Pradesh can follow along a little bit. But the thing about that is, that doesn't work for this movie, or that doesn't make sense, is that every time there was a conversation between two white people that didn't involve Rajnikanth, they dubbed it into Tamil.
Yeah, they did. They drew that, like, especially that sequence with the wife where she's just yelling at him in Tamil, which I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah. So, like, there's no need for them to act that way if they're just going to dub it into Tamil anyway.
Yeah.
Or subtitle it, subtitle it in Tamil if you have to.
Yeah. Although I heard from somebody that people complained that about subtitles because it took away a part of their screen. Again, I've heard that story. I'm not 100% sure of that one.
You know, of the millions and millions of films I've seen with subtitles on screen, it is the Indian ones that distract me the most. And it's not because they take away from part of the screen. It's because usually, especially with these kind of films, and it's not the regular dialogue sequences or the regular action sequences or any of that stuff. It's the songs.
Right.
The songs bother me because I want to read the lyrics, but then the action is going so fast that I can't ever keep up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a fast reader. But man, some of those things take a while. So that's the only time where I get distracted by subtitles is wanting to know what they're singing in the songs. Because, I mean, as I'm sure anytime you go to a Bollywood movie, it's kind of a crapshoot whether or not they're going to have subtitles on the songs in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because
and they subtitle the songs so hilariously sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any way to go around it. Somebody asked this question to Karan Johar when he was in London for the press conference for, I don't know, Student of the Year or whatever, because he doesn't subtitle his songs for the Dharma songs, and he said it's because it's ridiculous. Translating the lyrics to English, you lose all sense of poetry, and it just becomes a joke. And I kind of almost agree with him. Obviously, I don't need the subtitles, but you would appreciate even, I mean, because it's kind of hilarious, right? I mean, even the lyrics in Mona Lisa Gasolina, I there were quite a few moments. Like, how did they fit in the word engineer in a song? Like, they did it a few times.
The subtitlist, she communicates with me fairly regularly because
she does. Okay,
she subtitles a bunch South Indian films, and it's, you know, one of the things that she's very passionate about is trying to get other outside audiences to see these films, and we, you know, she lets me know what she's subtitling so I can go see it in the theater and stuff like that. And, you know, her approach to it is not so much a literal translation of the words, but trying to translate that kind of poetry into English. Oh,
that's,
you know,
good. That's good.
And it's tough, and sometimes it doesn't work, but sometimes, like, they said something about like Columbus and something or other in Mona Gasolina, and like that's what they were saying, right. And I was trying, and I could hear Columbus coming out of their mouths, and I saw it on the subtitles, and I was like, what does that even mean? And it feels like sometimes, you know, the lyricists, you know, they're just looking for a rhyme.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just anything that rhymes will work fine.
Yeah.
You know,
so let's talk about a bit about the ladies, because if we start with Rajinikanth, we'll just end up talking for like hours on end. But let's start with the ladies. What did you feel of? I mean, Anushka Shetty. It's the first time I'd seen her in a movie. She's quite a well-known South Indian actress, right?
Mm-hmm. She is.
Okay. Again, I'm such a Bollywood watcher. Give me an equivalent. What is she like as a Bollywood equivalent? Like, who is she? Like, is she a Deepika? Is she a Rani Mukherjee? What is she?
You know, I don't know that I'm that familiar with her, in all honesty. Right. She's not that far off from a Sonakshi. You know, they're pretty much, you know, because, and one of the things about the film is that they set it up so that it is such a pure Rajinikanth film that they don't want anyone else taking away from his spotlight. And so the producers, it seems to me, obviously I'm not in their shoes, it seems to me that they feel like putting anyone else out there that might steal some of his spotlight takes away from his performance. And so, you know, with her, I'm looking at her filmography right now on IMDb, and I've seen, I don't know, four or five of these movies.
Right.
You know, I've seen Linga, I've seen Singham 2, the Tamil version, and, you know, a few of the other ones. And honestly, they all sort of mix together, because in 99% of the times, especially in South Indian films, the heroines are not there to do anything but hold the heroes up.
Right.
And that's something that's changing a bit in Hindi film. There are more like woman-centric films these days, which is good. But it's just not that way yet. Like, there are still women in the movies, but they don't really make a whole lot of splash.
Yeah, and they, I mean, it's hard to, again, I'm treading very carefully, but they seem to be very naive, very kind of, you know, I mean, they seem very gullible, naive, and they fall in love very quickly with the heroes, and there's never any kind of agency to them.
Yeah.
I feel this was slightly different in Lakshmi's character. She did have a few moments where she was kind of taking action.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I thought that she was, of the female characters in the film, which is kind of funny, she was certainly the one with more agency of her own than Sonakshi was.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, her character was, you know, she was a reporter. Like, she was going after Linga to do the thing that he needed to do, because I don't want to spoil it or whatever. But she came after him, and, you know, it was all her idea, and it was, you know, she was taking care of business, and then, you know, she falls in love and everything falls apart. Yeah. But up until that point, she did seem like a woman who could take care of herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's rare. It's happened a couple of times that I can remember in big films, big South Indian films, but not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Kajal Agarwal, for example, who's in everything in South India. She's had that same kind of agency in a couple of films. Tupaki, which was a Vijay film that they turned into Holiday.
Yeah, let's see Holiday.
She's a boxer in that.
Yeah.
You know, and
I did not like Holiday.
I didn't see it because I didn't like Tupaki, so I figured I would just kind of skip it. But it's rare. And even if they start out as characters who have some sort of have their wits about them, once they get involved with the man, it all just falls away.
Yeah, they fall into kind of the same roles that we've seen to know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I really like Sonakshi Sinha. I've always kind of liked her. And I think both these actresses actually do a good job. And I think within the confines of a Rajinikanth movie, I think it's tough. And I think Sonakshi has kind of specialized in these roles in a way, especially in Bollywood, where she's, you know, she is kind of playing second fiddle. I liked her. I was reading a few reviews of her, and I think she gets
probably mine also.
Yeah, yours and a few others. I think Rajas Sen's I read too. And yeah, people don't seem to like her that much, which I really feel she kind of lights up the screen, or like not many other Bollywood movie heroines do as much. She really has those classic features, and really, really has a lot of grace in the way she uses her facial expression. So I really like her, and I was happy to see her in this movie, because it was kind of also something to hang on in the movie, because a lot of it was so unknown and, you know, so many conventions that I wasn't
comfortable
with. So I was like, oh, somebody I know, you know. You just kind of, even if you're not the biggest fan, you just kind of hold on to that one point. So I thought she did a good job. I think the problem that I always have with these movies is also the dubbing is so bad. And it pretty much went for the villain, for Anushka Shetty, for Sonakshi Sinha. They were all dubbed. And it's, again, like the subtitles, it's not something that they put enough effort into. Maybe because it's not important for them, but for me, it is very, very, very jarring.
And that leads back to another issue that I think probably hamstrung the film or hindered the film more than people might realize, is that the reason all those characters are dubbed is because the producer and the production company and all the money was coming from Andhra Pradesh. The producer's a Telugu film producer.
Right.
You know, Jagapati Babu is a Telugu actor. Anushka Shetty's usually in Telugu films. Dev Gill, he's listed in the credits, it's kind of funny, as Freedom Fighter. But I recognized him, you know, the several times he's on there, he's sort of the mean-looking guy with a beard. He's the lead villain in Rajamouli's Magadira.
Right.
And, you know, there's Brahmanandam, who shows up in the police. He's the police chief, or like the guy in the police department. At the very beginning, when they're trying to get Linga out, and Anushka Shetty shows up, like those are references that the Tamil audience isn't probably going to get a whole lot out of, you know. And so they have all these actors that are not, you know, not Tamil film actors, with the obvious exception of Santanam, who's, you know, in everything.
Right. I kind of figured he's kind of like the Johnny Lever of South
yeah,
India.
Yeah, he is very much the Johnny Lever of South
India. That's what I thought. That is kind of a trope that is, you know, so beyond, like, it's so old school, you know. I never liked Johnny Lever when Johnny Lever was doing his stuff in Bollywood movies, you know. It's like, seeing this kind of stuff still happen now, it just seems such a
See, I like Johnny Lever. I like Johnny Lever. It's one of the things that I, when I went and saw, Yamlapug, when Johnny Lever starts, I was like, yeah, Johnny Lever's in the movie.
Yeah.
Because I think back to, you know, older movies, and he does the same stuff he did in those movies, so it's not like he's grown as a performer or anything.
Yeah.
But it was sort of a comforting presence for me.
Yeah. So it's kind of what Sonakshi Sinha does for me in Lingam.
Yeah.
It's a comforting movie.
But I think that the point that I was getting to with as far as the Telugu funding and all the performers and the, you know, I don't know how much of the crew was part of the Tollywood crowd, but they just, as much as I'm sure they went all out, there's just not. It's a more tolerant film industry as far as the technical aspects go.
Right.
So they're more willing to let things slide or to, for the most part, to overlook, you know, small things that could probably be fixed if the hero's performance is fine.
Right.
And so when it gets into some of the dodgier special effects or visual effects, it just doesn't seem like that would have been an issue had the film been made by a bigger filmmaker or a filmmaker in a different industry.
Yeah.
And I could be completely wrong, but that's what I got out of it.
Right. So, what did you think of Sonakshi Sinha, though?
I thought that she was kind of like goofy, woman childish. That was my experience, because, you know, it, you know,
wasn't that the role? Wasn't that the role?
It was the role. It was the role. But, you know, I'm trying to suspend my disbelief as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
To believe that Sonakshi Sinha is a teenager, because they say she's a teenager in the movie.
Oh, is she? Okay, I must have missed.
No, yeah, they say outright that she is a teenager, and then she's all excited, and then she said that she's the most educated person in her town because she's been through fourth grade, which is a great line.
Yeah, I thought that was a joke. Yeah, like even her no mansion, that was kind of funny at first.
Yeah, some of the funny English, like that was funny. I don't know. She was okay.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
I
hear from a lot of people that I need to see Lutera. That's what people tell me.
Yeah, people keep telling me that too. Although that's not a role necessarily I want to see her in, because I like her. I like a lot of what she does. But it's still like, I think Lutera is one of those movies I need to be in the right mood to watch. And I've had it on my like hard drive for probably 2 years since it came out, and I just haven't gotten around to it. Because both her and Ranveer Singh are so subdued in that movie, and I like them being live wires. I mean, that's why I like watching the movies, you know. So again, maybe for doing something different, I need to watch that movie. But yeah, I like her. So for me, she was kind of good. Speaking of anachronisms, though, like even the haircuts of all the, like especially the main villain, he looked like Ashton Kutcher or something like that, you know?
It was pretty hilarious.
It just felt like what you're saying, there wasn't enough care brought into making this movie. And it's a shame, because the thing is, like, I do feel Rajinikanth himself, he's, you know, he gives it his all, you know? He's really doing this movie for his audience. He's really playing to the crowd. And it almost feels like the movie is a gift to his audience more than anything else.
And that's what I've gathered too, is that it's not really, you know, it wasn't an Endran, which is a movie that was in production for 2 years. It wasn't, you know, a Shivaji. It wasn't anything like that. Or it wasn't even Kochadayan, which was, you know, in production for 2 years also.
Yeah.
Or longer. It was, you know, apparently it went to floor 6 months ago. Wow. And now it's in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, holy crap, I haven't done anything. I don't want people to forget me. Here's a movie.
Yeah,
and that's what it felt like. It felt like it was thrown together.
Yeah. So, it's kind of a shame, but I think I think his audience loves him so much. They'll probably be kind of happy to see him on screen anyway. You know.
I think the time will tell. I think, you know, and this is, it's the case with any movie, but especially a film like this with a performer like Rajnikant, is that, you know, of course it's going to have a huge opening day.
Yeah.
You know, or a huge opening weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was seeing the people that are distributing out here saying how it was, you know, number one in, you know, dollars per screen, which makes sense because they're charging $25 a ticket, you know, as opposed to, you know, $10 for a regular movie or a Hollywood movie.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, people have I bought my tickets a week in advance. Yeah. And by, you know, 2 days before the film opened, those tickets were sold out. So of course they're going to have a huge opening day. But as word gets out, I think it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of those movies that people are going to be talking about in 6 months, 7 months. You know, like it's not like people would just go back and watch Sivaji or Intiran again. I think.
Or even his older movies. You know, because they're still out there. That's the thing, is you can't just ignore the fact that he's made good movies and just say, well, this is his new one, so let's just like this one instead.
Yeah.
You know, there are other movies out there where he's much better.
Yeah.
He's given much better material to work with.
Yeah. So any other things that you found like good in Linga? Like just kind of focusing on the positive, because we've been maybe a bit too negative, just to kind of throw people a bone like Rajnikant did with this movie.
You know, yeah, I do like Rajnikant's performance. He did well with what he was given.
Yeah.
And I did like some of the songs weren't fantastic, but they were pretty good. And I, you know, the music was exceptional.
Yeah, I think overall the music was quite good. I mean,
it's hard to lose with that. And you know, I've been listening to the album nonstop, and I must admit that even though I'm more excited to see I now, I don't listen to that music nearly as much as I listen to this stuff.
Right.
Because there are like one or two songs on the I soundtrack that I'm pretty crazy over, but the rest of it just doesn't really do anything for me. And that might change when I see it on screen. It usually does. But I think the music overall was really good. I think that one of the things that I enjoyed about it, even though at first glance, when I first watched it, it threw me off, was the ending of the film, which is ludicrous. Like, in a way, like Salman Khan riding a motorcycle into a helicopter, kind of ludicrous.
Wait, which, you mean the whole climactic fight sequence, or
with the hot air balloon and the motorcycle and the bomb, like not giving anything away.
Well, I think we can go into spoilers now. I don't think people will mind. We've been 40 talking about it 45 minutes. So,
but it was pretty ridiculous, and I like that. Like, I get a kick out of that.
Yeah,
it just wasn't ridiculous on purpose, you know, and that's the thing, like that people are that fans like me, who know him from his more recent works, appreciate more from movies like Shivaji or movies like Robot, that completely understand the world that they're living in, that completely exploit all of the things that they have at their disposal, and that don't shy away from something being ridiculous. They embrace it and just sort of go for it. And if the movie was more of that, you know, jumping a motorcycle off a cliff onto a hot air balloon and bicycle kicking a bomb into a lake, I would be happy with that. That would have been great. And there's another fight sequence in a train earlier in the film. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
But there's so much seriousness going on in this movie that it feels so, you know, undercooked. You know, a lot of the dialogues that he has as King Lingeshwaran earlier in the flashback, you know, talking about, you know, how shitty the British Raj is and how he's going to do things for himself and he doesn't need them anymore. Like, it's you know, it doesn't land anymore. You know,
for me, the whole problem with that thing was, obviously there's kind of that reveal that, you know, he's giving it up, but he's actually the big Raja or whatever. But mm-hmm. it's it like the whole sequence felt to me like Swades meets Lagan meets Sivaji.
Basically, he solves
his problem because he has a bunch of money. You know, it's not like he, you know, he, I mean, I get that there's a lot of sacrifice involved in this and that, and he kind of becomes kind of a Jesus at the end of it. But he just has a bunch of money and he spends it. So why didn't he spend it before? Why didn't we have to go through all of that thing where he's an engineer and a thing and another? I didn't get why it had to make so many detours to get to that point, you know, just spend the money straight away.
Here's my take on it. And this is just from listening to friends and people like Ashanti, who, you know, when I came out of Cochidai and I was disappointed and she was excited and I was, you know, just wanting to understand. I'm not being judgmental, just like, what did you see that I didn't see? Because there was obviously something, because it went down well with a lot of Tamil viewers,
yeah,
you know, who were able to look past the deficiencies in the technological end. And she said it made her proud to be Tamil. Like, there's a lot in there, and there's a lot of that in Tamil films nowadays. Right. There's a lot of patriotic films. This one, you know, King Lingeshwaran is a real life character. Mm. Like, he existed, and so there's that feeling that, and I don't know if I brought it into my review or not, but there's that feeling that Tamil people want to go into films like this and come out feeling better about themselves.
Yeah.
And Rajnikanth is a vessel to help that happen. Mm. Or, you know, Vijay is a vessel to have that happen. Or a couple of years ago with Murugadas's Seventh Sense, right, with Surya, yeah, who plays like the reincarnation of Bodhidharma, you know, also a Tamil historical character, you know, like that's why they spend so much time on these characters, these historical characters, and building them up so that they can allow, you know, the audience to sort of swell with pride before the thing actually gets done. Like, they want to watch this person who is them ethnically on screen conquer adversity or conquer the oppression.
Right. It's basically what's happening in China with Ip Man, because that's the point I raised with when we reviewed The Grandmaster, which I haven't actually posted yet, but that's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching Lingan 2. This is kind of like the South Indian equivalent of, you know, an Ip Man movie in a way.
Yeah, Ip Man. And in Ip Man, they are, or in even, you know, Legend, the Jet Li movie that was a few years before, or any of the Once Upon a Time in China films, they're always conquering some evil foreigner.
Yeah.
You know? And it's something that I think is largely unique to Asian cinema. Mm. We don't have it here so much because we're the invaders.
Well, you guys have
Americans,
like,
are.
You guys, you know, have Mel Gibson's Patriot and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, but even with films like that, you know, it's hard to make a film that's patriotic and historical about America because we fucked shit up. I'm sorry for swearing, but we tore a hole in this land when we got here.
Yeah.
And killed millions of people to take it. Yeah. So it's hard to, you know, go back and write a film about that shows us in a good light. You know, otherwise it ends up being like Dances with Wolves, where we're showing this one American guy or one white guy that's doing the right thing against all of the other evil white guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're supposed to feel good about that, you know. Whereas here, you know, in India, and I've made this point in at least one or two other reviews, there are still people, lots of people, who are alive when India wasn't its own country.
Yeah.
You know? And it, as an American, as so far from that culture, or even, you know, as an Englishman, like, it's so far from my point of reference that, like, there's obviously no one alive when America wasn't America anymore, you know? And so the patriotism is still sort of earned, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's still okay to be like, we beat the British, because there are still people out there that actually physically beat the British, you know? Yeah. Whereas in a couple of years or 10 or 20 years, when that generation starts to thin out a lot more, maybe these movies will thin out more, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think like I'm kind of comparing it with Hollywood cinema now, you know, like whereas, you know, there was a whole part of the West being one, you know, that was so long that that went on, and John Wayne movies, Clint Eastwood movies then started to kind of, you know, put a different spin towards it. But then the same kind of story narrative shifted to, or Japan, ancient Japan and first samurai, or even Rambo, or, you know, take it up to space, and it became Avatar. So it is kind of the same storyline. So I think there's just something inherently, you know, about being feeling like an underdog and feeling these larger than life heroes kind of, you know, take your battles. But even
in that case, even with films like that, the Americans who are the lead characters of those films are the and the heroes of those films, they are the usurpers. Like, they are the ones that are entering into a foreign community.
Yeah.
Whereas with films like this, they're the people that are doing that are the villains. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic.
Definitely. It is a different. I mean, it's exactly the opposite dynamic, basically.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite.
Like, this is basically what history is about.
Yeah,
that's funny.
All of it, forever.
And so it shall always be. Cool. So getting back to Linga, any other thoughts? We went up into space, so it almost felt like a Rajinikanth movie for a second. Yeah, I think for me, on the positive, I totally agree with you. The fights were, I enjoyed the fights, especially that train sequence. I thought it had
the train sequence was great. Yes.
Yeah, it had a bit of a 300 in it. You know, when that's kind of what's that? Speed ramping started. That was cool, and that was a moment where I felt like, oh, if this was kind of a pack theater, people would probably be going crazy, because that looked freaking awesome. Although, you know, Endiran also had a train fight sequence, but again, let's not talk about that.
It's not fair to compare.
Yeah, it's not. But yeah, both those fight sequences were great. I think the ladies were pretty good. Rajinikanth was pretty. He was good. Again, but you know, because I don't suffer from the Rajni effect. I like the guy, but it's just like, yeah, I wish I'd just, you know, watch more of his movies when he was kind of in his prime. This Linga is definitely a gift to his audience, and I'm just not his audience necessarily, you know? So it almost feels like a Shah Rukh Khan walking into a Salman Khan movie in a weird way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on, so.
It is sort of an in-between film. It feels like there's something else that's going to happen, but in the meantime, here you go.
Yeah.
And maybe Rana will be that movie, you know, if it ever gets made. You know, if they decide to pick it back up.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe it'll be the movie I want to see.
Yeah. You know? Is he not going to retire, Rajinikanth? Do you know anything about that, or
I don't know anything about.
Okay.
I don't want him to, because I think he's got more movies in him, and I think he definitely still has the chops. He just needs the material. That's what he doesn't have.
Yeah. I feel bad about saying this so many times, but being a Bollywood watcher, obviously the comparison is Amitabh, right? Amitabh obviously shifted over to more kind of patriarchal supporting roles. Do you think South Indian audience would ever accept Rajinikanth in those kind of roles, or?
I don't think he's the man that can do it.
No.
I think that he's, you know, he is, I think it was in the first paragraph or two of my review was that Rajinikanth is no longer an actor.
Yeah.
And I think he was an actor. I just don't think he is anymore. He can never be anything other than Rajinikanth in a movie. And Rajinikanth has fabulous flowing locks. Rajinikanth has swagger. Rajinikanth has a 20-year-old girlfriend. You know, those are the things that Rajinikanth has. And I don't think that his audience, as much as they love him, would accept him in that role as a father or a grandfather at this point.
With Amitabh, there was definitely a period like that too, where the audience didn't, you know, there was a disconnect where we wanted to see him as an angry young man, but he just wasn't a young man anymore.
And we talked about that last time when we talked about Agnipath.
Yes,
he was on that, like, that cusp.
Yeah, exactly.
Right about that time in the early 90s, where he still was acting the role of the angry young man, but it was obvious he wasn't young anymore.
Yeah, and there was kind of a, you know, a law of diminishing returns with those movies, just in box office wise. I mean, Agnipath did get critical praise and got reevaluated later on, but as a box,
it didn't make any money.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, if he continues to down this line, Linga will probably make less money than those other movies, right? Or
yeah.
It has to, right? Or
I can't imagine it being anywhere near. I don't think it'll make as much money as I Will.
Yeah.
You know, I think I's gonna, and I have some sort of background information on I, in that they are the people that are releasing it, at least in the United States, are going a completely different route and putting it on mainstream screens.
Wow.
And they're gonna have a massive opening, like bigger than any Bollywood movie has ever gotten.
Nice.
For I, and it may backfire on them, you know, but I hope it doesn't, you know, because I think that it'd be a wonderful thing, you know. Yeah. For to see. And I didn't get any trailers before my movie, but I did see that. I've seen the trailer for I like 1,000 times because I watched it like 10 times when it first came online.
Yeah.
And then it played before whatever the last movie I saw was. I don't remember. It played before a movie I just saw not too long ago. I'm sure it'll probably play before PK when I go see it that this week. And it should. Like, that looks crazy and amazing. Like, it looks like something that only Shankar can do.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Mm.
But, you know, this feels so much like a thrown together kind of thing that it's hard to get behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It wasn't the experience that I was hoping it would be.
No. And even if it wasn't for me, you know, going into theaters for South Indian films, especially because the Hindi film audiences here are not that rowdy. Like,
yeah,
on very rare occasion, you know, they'll get excited for a Salman Khan movie or some of the newer, like, buffed out AJ Devgan movies. They'll get excited for, you know, there'll be some hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
But for the South Indian movies, still, it's pretty, they get pretty rowdy. And Rajnikanth movies especially, but even the crowd, you could tell, it was such a different dynamic from when I went and saw Robot the first time.
Yeah.
That every single time something happened, the crowd went nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and this one, even the crowd after the first 20 minutes or so was like, this is not what we were coming,
yeah,
we were looking forward to. And that's a good way for me to gauge, you know, like you were saying, it's tough for you because you're missing a lot of references and you kind of have to feed off the crowd and see what they're like. Oh, I missed something right there. You know, I do the same thing a lot, you know, and there was less of it this time around. Like, I caught a couple of references to Rajnikanth's older films, but even they just sort of felt flat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It didn't have the scope or the scale that a character like that or a performer like that requires.
Yeah. Or deserves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, overall a bit disappointing, but yeah, hopefully he can kind of, you know, get back. And yeah, I think the thing I really got out of it, I need to watch I on a big screen. That's what I need to do, and I'll probably be doing that, especially if they are having a wide release, and so that means they'll also be having good subtitles and stuff like that. So I'm quite excited for that. But then you said PK, which is kind of the one I'm most looking forward to, so I don't know.
I'm very excited. I have tickets for Thursday night.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm trying to squeeze in as fast as I can to you. Rajkumar Hirani, Aamir Khan, Anushka Sharma. I can't miss that.
Yes, and I, you know, all of those people I love.
Yeah.
I'm a big Anushka Sharma fan. You know, I love Aamir Khan. I'm down. I want to see this movie, even though it looks kind of goofy and it looks like a takeoff on a lot of other films. I'm gonna give it a go.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I've had this discussion with so many friends on Twitter and stuff like that. Like, it looks stupid and this and that, but it's like, it's Rajkumar Hirani, it's Aamir Khan. I kind of have enough. They've built enough credit that, you know, they know what they're doing, and you know, I'll go in blindly. I'm not watching any making ofs. I'm not watching too many promos or anything like that. I've watched the initial trailer and I'm just going in because they have my trust. They built that credit. So yeah, I think
absolutely.
Yeah, cool. So Joshman, where can people find more of your work?
You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Josh. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's your handle for like, what, 4 months, 5 months, and then it changes again?
Yeah, I change it around quite a bit. You can find me on twitchfilm.com. We got our own .com now. And if you are in America, I'm helping to program several film festivals, so look out for me there.
Yeah, that looks cool. And you also did a Q&A recently, right?
I've worked with Fantastic Fest in Austin for the last couple of years, and this year I was able to go down and do a Q&A for a really wonderful new film noir by Dave Boyle called Man from Reno. So got to talk to Pepe Serna, who was in Scarface, so that was pretty sweet. Wow.
And Austin's really becoming like a kind of a cinematic center. No? In the U.S., it's becoming quite like for a few years already, but it's quite important now. It seems
Austin's a great place to watch a movie.
Oh, okay.
Or to find movies to watch that you've never seen before.
Right.
So.
Cool. And I'm Asim Verney. You can follow us on upodcasting.com. Follow us on iTunes, subscribe, whatever, and drop us an email at upodcasting@gmail.com. If you want to drop hate mail, you can send it to Josh. He knows much more than me. But also the comment section. Exactly. You've got a tough skin now. Thanks for listening, guys, and thanks, Josh, for being on. Let's get you back on soon. Yeah?
My pleasure. Absolutely. Sooner the better.
Cool. Thanks, guys.